Blog Talk Radio.
Factor that I've only been an actor in the stage interpretation.
Welcome back to the Biblical Hebrews of the Bible, which is sponsored by Blog Talk Radio. I'm your sister, host, friend, and servant, Sister Georgia. Today, family, is the 16th of July, 2014. Once again, we're going to get back into our Father's Word. We're going to give understanding, family, concerning what happened when Adam and Eve left the garden. What occurred with the lineage of Adam and the lineage of Cain? We're going to find that out by going into the second book of Adam and Eve, and I'm going to go here and there with it, but I'm going to post the links in the chat line so that you can go ahead and read both books yourself. I want to get this information out because it will also deal with us getting the understanding that the world's not teaching the truth concerning Genesis 6, nor who the sons of quote-unquote God are, or who the fallen angels are, the devil, the serpent. When we break all this down, we will bring things back into your remembrance, okay? If you are spiritual, you'll get that good foundation. We're going to go through the second book of Adam and Eve. So I did, on the chat line, post the links for where I'm going to be reading from. And these are I guess I can read what they have on here. It's called The Forgotten Books of Eden, and I got it from Sacred Text, but these are pseudepigraphal books. It reads on the page, this is a popularized translation of the Old Testament pseudepigrapha. It says, quasi-biblical writings which never archive canonical status or inclusion in any of the official apocrypha. This isn't to say that these documents are forgeries, just that for one reason or another, they were not considered to be part of the biblical text by the first millennium compilers. This book contains translations of all of the texts found in Volume 1 of the weightier Oxford University Press Apocrypha and Pseudepigrapha without any of the apparatus. So these books, we can compare and know what's truth from lies just by understanding what's in Scripture. But when we go to the Scriptures and we read, after Adam and Eve got kicked out of the garden, not too much is said concerning what really occurred. What was it that occurred that brought on the flood? And many people have speculated, many people have gone and started making this sci-fi here, but really when you go to the second book of Adam and Eve, it gives a lot of information that lets you know what really happened. What was it that occurred? Who caused it? And what was the result? You're going to find that when you go, I'm going to just give it to you off the bat. We're going to start with it right. You're going to get the understanding that you're not going to hear about giants. And in the world today, as you hear about fallen angels, you're not going to hear about that. You're going to hear about something else close to it, which is the truth, but not what you're hearing in the world today or what Hollywood has now beefed up Genesis 6 to be, or the return of the angels, as they like to say. And there's many people out there putting forth bad information out to our people. But see, you're supposed to know. So I welcome everyone to join me as we read The Forgotten Books of Eden. Specifically, we're going to be hitting on, and I'm not going to read it all, but I did give the links for those books. You can read it before we have our Shabbat lesson. The first and second book of Adam and Eve. We're going to be reading the parts of the second book of Adam and Eve. I want to give you enough to wet your whistle so that when we get ready to have our next lesson, a lot of this stuff is going to, you know, you're going to start to get it. If you know the Scripture, if you've been keeping along with our readings, you will start to understand what Scripture is saying. It's the same thing. Father says, you know, he changes not. So whatever took place in the time of our ancestors throughout the biblical book, it should be taking place today, and we can see what that is. So we're going to link all that up for you today. So I pray that you are here to learn. We'll be reading both from the Bible as well as from the pseudepigrapha, speaking of the second book of Adam and Eve. Now, I did also put on the chat line, just so I can remind everyone, don't forget about your homework from our last lesson. We were doing the lesson, the first of the series, speaking of the fallen angels, the sons of God, the serpent seed, and the devil. I gave everybody 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. It says, "For if Yahushua spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them in the chains of darkness to be reserved until judgment." Now, what does that mean? Who is he speaking about? Who did he cast down to hell? Who is he reserving in chains of darkness? What angels? See, you got to know the truth about when they use the word God in the Scripture, many times they just threw that word in because that is not the name of the Heavenly Father. Lord God, that is not the name of the Heavenly Father or His Son. The word God has many meanings, and you have to look these words up. It's very important. When you get to giants, everybody's looking at the Jolly Green Giant or Jack and the Beanstalk or I don't know what. But we got to come to the truth of what our Father says. Now, we're going to start teaching exactly what is it speaking of. You know, when we were, as the dry bones began to get blown on, you know, they had to get blown on many, many times, not just one time. But that's how the Father reveals and wakes us up. He gives us the truth in a dispensation of time. And when we come into the truth, we must preach the truth. Anything else would be not our Father's word. So we're going to start teaching according to what the book really says. This is our history book. You ought to know what's in there. So we're praying that this lesson with the fallen angels, the sons of God, the serpent seed, the devil, that this helps you come into understanding of what is in Scripture, whereby you can rightly divide the word, especially if you're trying to figure out revelations. Okay, but you got to know what happened in the beginning. That's really important. And a large part of what has happened in the beginning has been tampered with. I will tell you that, because if you go to any of these other books that, like, are in the Book of Jubilees, you go to the Book of Enoch, you go to the Book of Adam and Eve, you know, in the beginning, you can see where they've tried to tamper with it. But you can better believe that's where a lot of truth that they didn't want you to know is held. And then throughout the rest of the scriptures, of course, you know, they've messed with words. They didn't put the true name of the Heavenly Father or Son in the book. They threw in Easter. They put in the word cross. Well, we know he hung on a tree. Now we got to get to the truth of, just like we had to get to the truth of who the Gentiles are in the scripture, knowing that this is our history book, who do you think it would be? Well, you know it's us. Now we got to come to the truth of who are the fallen angels? Who are the sons of God? Who are the devils? Who are the serpent seed? We got to get to this truth, family. A lot of this stuff is right within this book we're going to reread, the second book of Adam and Eve. So we will go there. Now, instead of prayer, what we're going to be doing is reading out of John, the book of John. I gave everybody the links on the chat line. I'm at John chapter 14. I'm going to give it to the chat line as well. And you guys can just open it up. Everywhere I go, I really do expect you guys to open up. I expect you to come here not to hear me babble. No vain babbling is going to take place here. We're going to speak the truth of our Father's Word. So we'll be doing a lot of reading. So if you join me at John 14, I'm going to pick up at verse 15. I'm going to read 26. And we're doing this instead of a prayer. So I ask everyone to read along with me. Yahushua said, "If ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments, and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him." Now I want to skip down just a little bit to, let's see, verse 26. "But the Comforter, which is the set-apart Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." Family, we're going to allow the set-apart Spirit to flow. Let the dry bones be blown on and wake up to more truth of the Father's Word. I pray that you just thank the Father when you get the understanding. Give him all the praise, all the glory. Okay? It's important we do this. This is what he expects from us. He expects nothing of physical work, but he does expect spiritual praises and thanksgiving. We have to keep his commandments as well. So let's go and begin reading. Now, I'm going to, like I said, I gave the link. I'm reading out of the second book of Adam and Eve. I'm not going to read it all. I'm not going to read it all because I'm going to leave that up for you to do. But I do want to go over some of this material. Many people, when they go to Genesis 6, I think I should start there first. I think I will start there. If you open up Genesis 6, when we have read Genesis 6, many of us have, in the past, assumed it was talking about fallen angels. Like you see all these movies flying around Hollywood right now where you see this angelic being flying around with wings, booking shapeshift into a man or a woman or whatever. You know, we've seen those movies out there, you know. And sometimes when we're reading the scripture, through the assemblies or the churches we have been into, the religious systems, I should really say, and even when you find out you're a Hebrew, many are still teaching this, but they have to come into the truth as well as we did. They'll think that Genesis chapter 6 is talking about some type of angelic being mating with women. And really, that's not what happened in the book. Let's read Genesis 6. It says, And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair, and they took them wives of all they chose. And Yahuwah said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bare children to them. The same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. And Yahuwah, he saw the wickedness of man. It was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented Yahushua that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And Yahushua said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping things, and the fowls of the air, for it repented me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of Yahushua. Now these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation, and Noah walked with Yahushua. And Noah begot three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before Yahushua, and the earth was filled with violence. And Yahushua looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And Yahushua said to Noah, The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Now, I'm going to stop it there, because that's basically where you will get from the first book and second book of Adam and Eve. The first book goes into when Adam and Eve first was kicked out the garden. But when you get to the second book, you start to get into what occurred with the lineage of Cain and Adam's genealogy. You understand the separation that took place. You understand the location, what they were commanded not to do. That's where we want to go to, because something happened that we could even read about throughout the rest of the scripture rehappening. It's a continual pattern where man sins. So I want to go first and go ahead and open up that link with the second book of Adam and Eve. Go ahead and open it up, and I want everyone to open up to chapter 5. I want to begin at chapter 5. Now when I read this, I'm pinpointing things for you to look at. You, I expect to read both of these books on your own. If you know the scripture, you should be able to spot was not good. But for time's sake, I'm just going to go over what you should be picking out, okay? It's very important that you do pick this out. And what we'll do is, when we have our lesson really going into the correct understanding of Genesis 6, I'm going to highlight more for you. But right now, I just want you to get I gave homework out, and the homework is for your understanding, is to bring you back in remembrance. Because the truth is right there in the scripture, family. But because we have learned a faulty doctrine, we've inherited a doctrines of men, okay? Traditions of men, doctrine of men, a gospel that is not true. It's corrupted. Yet it is still preserved if you have the set-apart spirit to understand the truth. It's preserved for you. Just like when Yahushua was talking parables, it was only meant for certain people to get. So no matter what they do to the book, if you are operating out the Spirit, you will get the truth. Now, when you go to chapter 5, it talks about the devil paints a brilliant picture for Seth to feast his thoughts upon. Now, I'm going to read only verses 1 and 2 in chapter 5. It reads, "As for Seth, when he was 7 years old, he knew good and evil and was consistent in fasting and praying, and spent all his nights in entreating Yahuwah for mercy and for forgiveness. He also fasted when bringing up his offering every day, more than his father did, for he was of a fair countenance, like unto an angel or a son of God." The word angel, that's what all the Hebrews who had the set-apart spirit, and even the fallen who had the spirit, we all are spirits wrapped in flesh, which is angels. And that only occurred in the seventh-day creation. The children from Adam and Eve, they both had spirits. On day six, we can read in Genesis, they were never given, the male and female were never given a spirit, but from the creation from Adam and Eve, the vessels, the only difference is one came from our Heavenly Father and the other one came from the devil. Many people understand this when they go to John 8, that Yahushua, the Son of the Most High, he lets you know, ye are of your father the devil. The lust of your father ye would do. He was a murderer from the beginning, that's Cain, and he abode not in the truth. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. He called him a child of the devil, the scribes and the Pharisees. So we get the understanding that through the parable of the wheat and tare, that while the Hebrews slept, the enemy came in and planted a seed. The seed he planted was a spirit. We get the understanding that our bodies are nothing but vessels. They mean nothing. They just, it's like if you pour a glass of water and you don't use a glass, what will contain the water? Well, our skin, our flesh contains our spirit. So we're angels, our spirits wrapped in flesh. The only difference is not all spirits are from our Father. So we see that Cain didn't have the same spirit that Adam's genealogy had. So we see that now Seth remained, and Seth is praying and fasting, okay? Let's go over to, chapter, I'm gonna read it, make it easy for you guys, and make it easier for me too. I have it, but I just don't want to go through all that. Chapter VIII. And that should be chapter, I believe, 8. Yeah, chapter 8. Go ahead and open up to chapter 8. I'm going here and there with you just to pinpoint some things for you. Okay, when we go to chapter 8, I'm going to read verses 6 through 15. 6 through 15 of chapter 8. It reads in verse 6, "Then our father Adam blessed them all and said to Seth, after he blessed them, O Seth, my son, thou knowest this world, that it is full of sorrow and of weariness, and thou knowest all that has come upon us from our trials in it. I therefore now command thee in these words to keep innocency, to be pure and just and trusting in Yahuwah, and lean not to the discourses of Satan, nor to the apparitions in which he will show himself to thee. But keep the commandments that I give thee this day. Then give the same to thy son Enos, and let Enos give it to his son Canaan, and let Canaan give it to his son Mahalalel, so that this commandment abides firm among all your children." This is the same thing when you go to the book of Joel, chapter 1. And we're told in the book of Joel, hey, tell your children and your children's children and another generation after that. You keep talking to the children, keeping the truth alive, letting them know consequence, letting them know about our Heavenly Father. And if they go wrong, this will happen to you. And if they do good, this will be the blessing. So it was a commandment always for us to tell the generation after. Raise your children well. Teach them well is all he's saying. So after Adam did the blessing, it tells us in verse 14, But now, O Seth, my son, place thyself at the head of thy people. Tend them and watch over them in the fear of Yahuwah, and lead them in a good way. Command them to fast unto Yahuwah, and make them understand they ought not to hearken to Satan, the devil, lest he destroy them. Then, again, separate thy children and thy children's children from Cain's children. Do not let them ever mix with those, nor come near them either in their words or in their deeds. Pause for a second. I just want to bring you back in remembrance. I will be going really, really deep in detail when I do the lesson, but it's interesting. Very, very interesting. You're going to hear words that maybe you don't hear in the scriptures, but pertaining to Genesis 6, you also hear in the book of Enoch. One of the things that many people have just heard is the word watchers. Now, the true watchers in the scripture, especially when we get to the second book of Adam and Eve, we were supposed to watch. Those who were in authority were supposed to watch over Seth's genealogy or Adam's genealogy to keep them, you know, make sure that they didn't sin, make sure they did what was pleasing to our Father. Those would be called watchers. When you learn in the world, you understand that they'll say that the watchers fell. They became fallen angels. You're going to get the understanding from reading this book, family. But it's just, I just want to bring it up. So we are told that Adam didn't want Cain's children. He said, do not let them ever mix with those, nor come near them either in words or in their deeds. So the word and the deeds. The deeds were the works. So their speech, their words, and their speech, their understanding, and their works. This is the mark of the beast, if you're getting an understanding. It takes you to Genesis, Revelations, where it talks about they have a mark in their forehead and on their right hand. It's the way they word things, family, but when you go read these books, you get the proper understanding because the scripture talks about it as well. But when he told them, Adam told his son Seth, he says, then again, I'm at verse 15, sever thy children and thy children's children from Cain's children. Do not let them ever mix with those, nor come near them either in their words, okay, their understanding, or in their deeds or their works. This is what the scripture says, family. This is why the mark of Yahuwah is between the eyes. It's an understanding. It's a spiritual thing. The mark of the beast, it's a spiritual mark saying that you have that Babylon and confusion between your, that's your seal, the seal of 666. And we're talking spiritual things. Don't think of a big tattoo on your head. It's the understanding. You've received a different doctrine. You have Babylon, which is confusion, and you're doing works of your hand to fulfill your understanding, which is all of the devil. So it talks about nor come near them in their words or in their deeds. Okay? This is what was told to us in the second book of Adam and Eve. Now we're going to go over to chapter X, which is chapter 10. I'm only reading a little bit here and there. Okay? You can read it all when you get time, but please try to have this read before we do our, I think you have about 2 weeks before we get to those lessons. Okay, we're going to pick up at chapter 10. I'm only going to read verses 3 and 4. So it says, and when they had entered their offering, the word of Yahuwah came to Seth, the eldest among them, saying unto him, O Seth, 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 three times. As I was with thy father, so also shall I be with thee, unto the fulfillment of the promise I made him thy father, saying, I will send my word and save thee and thy seed. But as to thy father Adam, keep thou the commandment he gave thee, and sever thy seed from that of Cain, thy brother. Now that really is no different from when the scriptures say, in Genesis 3:15, I would put enmity between thy seed, that was Cain's lineage, the serpent, and the woman's seed. The woman was the lineage of Adam. Did you hear what I said? When he talks in a lot of people believe that everything is people. Sometimes semblance is taught to us. The truth of the matter is the Father has always just been talking about Yahushua, who came in the volume of the book. He said it's written of me. That's Old and New Covenant. And the truth of it is he was never putting a division between the men and the women. He was putting a division as he always liked to set his people apart from other people. That's the truth of the word. Don't go by man and woman. It goes by those with the spirit and those who have not the spirit. Okay? That's what the division was about. So, I'm going to read it again. Chapter 10, it says, "And when they had in their offering, the word of Yahuwah came to Seth, the eldest among them, saying unto him, O Seth, 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 three times, as I was with thy father, so also shall I be with thee, until the fulfillment of the promise I made him thy father, saying, I will send my word and save thee and thy seed." And we know that his word is Yahushua, that who the word was in John 1, that, you know, was manifested in flesh and dwelt among us. That was the promise. So in verse 4 it says, "But as to thy father Adam, keep thou the commandment he gave thee, and sever thy seed, thy progeny, thy children, from that of Cain thy brother." Okay, remember, we're not talking about, when they say brother, yeah, we have flesh on. That's why they call the Edomites our brother, because they got flesh on. But the spirit separates even further. Those things of the spirit, spiritual beings, those are sons of the Most High. Okay, the ones that the Father knew before he formed us in our mother's womb. Because we're not talking flesh, we're talking spirit. All right, now I want everybody to turn to 11, chapter 11. Chapter XI. Okay, it says, "Seth becomes head of the most happy and just tribe of people who ever lived." I'm going to be reading verses 1 through 6. You go ahead and open up and turn over for me, please. Be prepared to learn, family. It's all important in to get in the scriptures. When you go to the scriptures, you know that they had our books. They took a lot of things out, and they went ahead and kind of like made those Hebrew words into English, and then they, you know, took it from the Greek, which means you need to go and look at what these words are speaking about, because many times you're going to find that one English word has many meanings, but we're supposed to rightly divide the words. So which word is the correct word and the understanding you should be getting from the scripture? Many people can't do that, and that's like the only way you're going to get it is you got to operate out the spirit to get it, family. So let's go ahead and read. It reads in verse 1, "After the death of Adam and Eve, Seth severed or separated his children and his children's children from Cain's children. Cain and his seed went down and dwelt westward below the place where he had killed his brother Abel. But Seth and his children dwelt northward upon the mountain of the Cave of Treasure in order to be near to their father Adam. And Seth the elder," now see, it says that Seth the elder, he was an elder, put it like that, "tall and good looking, with a fine spirit and a strong mind, stood at the head of his people and tended them in innocence, penitence," I don't know what that word means, "and meekness, and did not allow one of them to go down to Cain's children. But because of their own purity, they were named children of God," is what they put there. Well, that is sons of God in the Bible, because when you go look up the word thy sons, it's talking about children. So they were known, only Seth's children were known as the sons of God. So with that understanding, you need to take that to Genesis 6. That's just a little hint, family. That's just a little hint. We'll go into deeper later, but I want to read it again just so everyone understands. I'm picking up at verse 3. It reads, "And Seth the elder, tall and good, with a fine spirit and a strong mind, stood at the head of his people and tended them in innocence, penitence, and meekness, and did not allow one of them to go down to Cain's children. Because of their own purity, they were named children of God. Okay, they were the sons of God, and they were with our Father instead of the hosts of angels who fell. Now, keep that in mind. It says, instead of the host of angels who fell. They're talking about fallen angels. But we are angels in the flesh. We are also known in the scripture as sons of God, which means the children of God, right? If we go, I'm keeping everything in these pagan words because I know some are coming out of Christianity, and I want you to get it as well. So I'm going to read exactly what's in the book, so that I can tie it in with the same words. We're going to keep it like it is, and we're going to go in the scripture and see what these words mean. So it says that because of the purity of Seth's genealogy, they were named the children of God, and they were with him. It says, instead of the host of angels who fell. Well, what host of angels fell? If you read the first book of Adam and Eve, the only ones who fell were the ones who committed the sin. Because a sin made them fall, correct? And they were known as Cain's genealogy or the serpent seed in Scripture. I pray y'all understanding this. Anyhow, it says, but because of their own purity, they were named children of God, and they were with him instead of the host of angels who fell. For they continue in praises to Yahuwah and singing in, and we're talking about Seth's genealogy, because they were counted as children of the Most High, for they continued in praises to our Father and in singing psalms unto him in their cave, the cave of treasures. Then Seth stood before the body of his father Adam and his mother and prayed night and day and asked for mercy towards himself and his children, that when he had some difficult dealing with the child, he would give him counsel. But Seth and his children did not like earthly works, but gave themselves to heavenly things or spiritual things, for they had no other thought than praises, doxologies, which is the same thing, praises, and psalms unto our Father. See, family, just like when Yahushua and some of the prophets even said it too. I could take you to scripture, but I'm not going to do that today. You probably know what they are. It says our Father, you know, he don't want, it's better to, he wants spiritual things and sacrifices, spiritual things, instead of fat-fed beast and those things. He didn't want that. What he really wanted was obedience. He wanted spiritual things from his people worshiping in the spirit. That's what he wanted. And that's the same thing it says Seth wanted. It says, but Seth and his children did not like earthly work. When you get to Revelations, you're going to figure out that it was the work that got many in trouble. Many today will fall back on the work. They don't understand the words coming out of my mouth when I read it that Isaiah said, the Father said, take all that away. Isaiah chapter 1, take all them things you're doing away, because when we had them, we didn't do them properly. So it's a spiritual thing, family. It really is with spiritual people. If you're spiritual, you'll do the works of our Father, which is spiritual. But if you're of the flesh, you'll do the works of the devil, because he's about the flesh. Only children of the Spirit are considered sons of God in the Scripture. Not children of the flesh. These are none of his, according to the scripture. So let's go on. I just want to bring that out. Now, we're going to go next to chapter X11, which is chapter 12. I only want to read verses 10 through 16. So everybody go ahead and switch, open up. Beginning at verse 10. Then Seth prayed over them and blessed them and adjured them by the blood of Abel, the just, saying, I beg of you, my children, not to let one of you go down from this set apart and pure mountain. Make no fellowship with the children of Cain, the murderer and the sinner, who killed his brother. For ye know, O my children, that we flee from him, and from all his sin with all our might, because he killed his brother Abel. After the death of Seth, Enos rose at the head of his people, whom he fed in righteousness and judgment, and his father had commanded him, as his father had commanded him. But by the time Enos was 820 years old, Cain had a large progeny, for they married frequently, being given to animal lust until the land below the mountain was filled with them. Now, at this point, I will take you and bring you back into remembrance. If you understand the truth of what Scripture says, when you go to Genesis chapter 4, it tells us that when Cain, after he killed Abel, he was kicked away from, he was separated away from Adam and Eve. Later we find out they gave him Seth, a son. But where did he go? It tells us in the Scriptures, in chapter 4 of Genesis, that Cain went out eastward, and he went to the land of Nod, and he found him a wife. Now, we don't hear about any children that were females born to Adam and Eve in the first four chapters of Genesis. But in chapter 4, it says he went out there and found him a wife. Well, if you have the understanding that there's more than one creation, the six-day creation consisted of male and female, and they were never given the spirit, but they were in the world. That would be your mankind, all the other nations outside of Israel. We know that the devil crept in and planted a seed, and Cain had that spirit, which was the devil, the spirit of the devil. Okay? He didn't have the good spirit that was sent from above and placed into that Hebrew vessel, which is the body, in Eve, known as the woman seed. So he went out, and because he, you could say, had a flesh heart, that's what his heart was, it was uncircumcised, he went out there with those who were fleshers, like him. He wasn't spiritual. Cain left and found him a wife with women in the world. So it tells us right here, I'm just saying this because you got to get what's going on in this book. By the time you go back and you read what it talks about Cain's progeny, it tells us. It says that, where did I read from? Give me a second to find my place. Okay. In verse, where did I read that from? I just read it, but I was busy talking. I always do that, family. Give me a second. Give me a second where it talks about Cain's progeny. Hold on a second. Okay, yeah, that's in chapter 12, verse 16. It says, but by the time Enos was 820 years old, Cain had a large progeny. And it says, for they married frequently. It was a, you know, you'll find out later why. Same thing you're seeing happening today. When it says they married frequently, a lot of times they had sex frequently. Not that they were just marrying and divorcing men. No, no, no. This type of marriage they're talking about, it was where you give, you might take the son might take his mother, brother and sister take each other, father take a daughter. It was a lot of nasty and filthiness going on. But remember, Cain was mixed up with the world. So you got the world down there with Cain. You got the world down there with Cain, because that's where Cain went, with mankind, and he blended his seed with that. So you got these people down here that are going bucket wild. There's no rules. There's no laws. They were acting like brute beasts, okay? That's what they were doing. So just understand that when you read the book of Genesis. That's where he went. He went with the creation of day six. Not 1,000 years later, the creation of Adam. He went with the creation that was already there. That's where he found him a wife from. And the reason why I mention that is because when you get to some of these Apocrypha and Pseudepigrapha books, they all give you a different understanding, and they'll actually put girl or female children, sisters to both Cain as well as Abel. And that's not the truth of the word. We have to stick with the scripture. That's our firm foundation. That's the good foundation. So going on, it says, by the time, I'm reading 16 again, by the time Enos was 820 years old, Cain had a large progeny, for they married frequently, being given to animal lust until the land below the mountain was filled with them. Okay, so you get a little bit of understanding on that. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to go to chapter XIV. XIV. That is chapter 14. When you go there, family, I'm just going to read the first two verses, verse 1 and 2. When Enos was 900 years old, all the children of Seth and of Canaan and his firstborn with their wives and children gathered around him, asking for a blessing from him. He then prayed over them and blessed them and adjured them by the blood of Abel, the just, saying to them, let not one of your children go down from this set-apart mountain, and let them make no fellowship with the children of Cain the murderer. Stay Kodesh, stay set apart. Because remember, it was the father in Genesis 4 that had Cain get away, separate. It was the Heavenly Father. Okay, he was. How does it say? I think it says he was kicked from the face of the earth. But we're talking about Cain. Cain was separated from Adam, Eve, and we know later at the end of chapter 4, Seth comes along. Okay, let's go a little deeper into this. You should start putting things together as we read, family, because I'm trying to keep it to where when you read this whole book on your own, you're really going to get it. And when we come down to breaking this down with the sons of God, the fallen angels, and the devils, the serpents, you should get it. It's not that hard to get. Okay, you're going to go next to XVI, XVI, chapter XVI, which is 16. Okay. This is... Well, it says the good branch of the family is still afraid of the children of Cain. I'm going to read verses 1 through 8. Everybody get there, please. Okay, I'll read verse 1. Then Mahalalel stood over his people and fed them in righteousness and in innocence and watched them. He was a watcher, right? He was an angel. He watched them to see they held no intercourse with the children of Cain. He also continued in the Cave of Treasures, praying and ministering before the body of our father Adam, asking Yahushua for mercy on himself and on his people until he was 870 years old when he fell sick. Then all the children gathered unto him to see him and to ask him for his blessing on them all, ere he left this world. Then Mahalalel arose and sat on his bed, his tears streaming down his face, and he called his eldest son Jared, who came to him. He then kissed his face and said to him, O Jared, my son, I adjure thee by him who made heaven and earth, to watch over, he's a watcher, Jared was a watcher too, as well as Mahalalel, these are your watchers that you can read about in the book of Enoch, it says to watch over thy people, feed them in righteousness and in innocence, and not to let one of them go down from this set-apart mountain to the children of Cain, lest he perish with them. Verse 6. Hear, O my son, hereafter there shall come a great destruction upon this earth on account of them. Yahuwah will be angry with the world and will destroy them with waters. But I also know that thy children will not hearken to thee, and that they will go down from this mountain. They will not be set apart. And they will hold intercourse with the children of Cain, that they shall perish with them. Now, I'm going to play with you a little bit here, family. We're reading about watchers who were supposed to watch over their brethren. They were heads of the people. They were watchers. But they were also angels. They were also sons of God. what it says here. I'm going to read it one more time, and then I'm going to just read Genesis 6:1, and maybe you can start to put this together. When you go to verse 7, it says, Mahalalel is telling Jared his son, but I also know that thy children, the children of Adam and Seth, it says, but I also know that thy children will not hearken to thee, Jared, that they will go down from this mountain and hold intercourse with the children of Cain, that they shall perish with them. O my sons, teach them and watch over them, that no guilt attach to thee on their account. Now, let's go back real quick, just to Genesis 6. I'm going to read only verse, what? I'm going to read the first few verses. Genesis 6, verse 1. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all they chose. Now, oh, y'all know why I'm reading this in the way I'm reading it. I pray you have understanding. When you go back and we read, it tells us that Mahalalel told Jared in verse 7, but I also know that thy children will not hearken to thee, and they will go down from the mountain and hold intercourse with the children of Cain, that they will perish with them. Now, we're talking in Genesis 6 about the flood occurring. In the book, it talks about the sons of God. People have assumed they're talking about these wondrous beings in heaven that fly around and say, ooh, look at that honey right there. Let me go get her. Many people go to 1 Corinthians 11 and say, ought not the woman to have power over her head because of the angels? And they will tell you, see, because there's four powers of authority, that she got to have a covering. She got to have a man over her. When really, it's not talking about a man over a woman, because there's only three powers of authority. And the angels, we could read about that in Old Covenant. Shoot, when the seraphim came out there, they attacked all the people. So what is that angel? Why should the women, which is the assembly, the church, have power over their head? Speaking of, because of the angels. Because of what angels? That's just something to think on. We know that we are angels, but there are also fallen ones out there. And it's only the word, in the name of the word, let me phrase it that way, that can get these angels, these fallen angels, cut them, kill them, because we wear the sword, we wear the armor of Yahushua, or that we fight with that our battles, not of physical things, but of spiritual things. So I just wanted to bring that to your remembrance. I pray y'all getting what I'm saying. I don't say too much because I really try to get y'all to, you know, think. And then ask the Father, go back in the book and read. And don't let the ways of this world overtake you. Do as the Father say, come as little children into understanding the truth of the word. Much of the truth is held here as well. These books, remember, we were in chains and shackles when our ancestors came here. Many of the books that we had while we were in Jerusalem, our ancestors, everything was taken away from us, family. We discontinued from our heritage, according to the scripture. That's why when we come into understanding the truth, you must come as little children, and you must operate out the spirit. Some of this stuff will never make sense to you, and you will always be living in the flesh. You will always have fear upon you, and you will always be looking into the world for the answers. When the Father says, hey, it's right here. Yahushua says, the book is written of me. For lo, I come in the volume of it. So when we go to the book, we have to go to Yahushua, the word, to get the truth of the understanding properly. That's what I'm trying to say. Properly precepting. Rightly dividing, but it's right there. So I just want to share that with you guys. Let me finish it up. He says, "On my, oh my son, teach them. That's what Mahalalel was telling Jared. Teach them and watch over them. Be a watcher. Had no guile attached to thee on their account. Okay, family, I pray this is a blessing for you. I'm not done yet, but I'm really trying to take my time with the family to make sure that those who, when I read, you hear and you understand. You're operating out the Spirit. You're seeking the Father. You want to get to the truth. My job is to bring you back in remembrance by going through this material. As the Father gives me, I will give you. Let's go now to chapter 17. Chapter XVII. Let's go there. And this is a long one. So what I'm going to do before we go here, because that's a real long one, family. I need to have a sip of my tea. What I'm going to do, we have time. I believe we have time. Let me see how much time I have before I talk too much. Yeah, we got 58 minutes left. So I'm going to play something quick just so I can, take me a little sip of something because my throat gets very dry. Okay, hold on. We'll be right back, and we're going to finish. I'll probably have to retitle this lesson, but this is the second book of Adam and Eve. I'm just taking you to the highlighted points for where I need to precept when I get ready to make the point of the truth of the scripture. So everyone, sit tight. We'll be right back in about 3 minutes. Hold tight. Get you something to drink. Enjoy. You know, when we get to doing the Father's Word and looking at the truth, this is a rejoiceful thing. Look, I'm going to drink my tea and praise the Father while I wait and come back to you. So sit tight. Shalom.
Marvelous light. Oh, yeah. And if you could relate to that, this song's for you.
Every time I think about all he's done, how he changed my life and made it so much better, I'm just in awe. It's so amazing, yeah, yeah. Many times I was down on my knees crying, looking for the answer, but it at all, yeah. But he always came on time and made it right. He's so
I'm just saying.
Life family, we're back, and we have about 54 minutes left in the second hour. We're reading out of the book of second book of Adam and Eve, and we're at chapter 17. We're going to pick back up at chapter 17, which is XVII. On the chat line, I gave that link, so you can just open it up, and that's what we'll be reading from. Now, remember, we're reading this family because when you go even in the book of Enoch, they use the word watchers. They use the word fallen angels, fallen ones. When you get to the Bible, it talks about giants. It talks about sons of God and God, Lord God. These words have been utterly trashed, confused. You confuse that when they put the word God, it's always talking about the Most High. No, not always. Sometimes it's talking about rulers, angels, and was Yahushua an angel? Yeah, he was an angel because the angel is a spirit. But if you don't know these basic facts, when you go to reading the scriptures, the KJV is what I read out, but when you go reading it, shoot, you got a whole different gospel, and it's not the truth of the understanding. And see, you're supposed to know. You are supposed to know. Throughout the scriptures, we are told that we will be brought back in remembrance. And that's when the word, the set-apart spirit, blows upon us. We come into the truth. And that's all we're doing here. We're just reading. Because you're going to hear a lot of lies out there. And we want to get to the Father's truth, his word. So we're going to go ahead now and read out chapter 17 out of the second book of Adam and Eve. Go ahead and open up. I gave the link. The subtitle says, Jared turns martinet. He is lured away to the land of Cain, where he sees many voluptuous sights. Jared barely escapes with a clean heart. Now, this would be no different than saying we are, we are warned. Sometimes we could be entertaining angels unaware. Because remember, Satan can transform himself into an angel of light, and so can his children. So we're going to be reading about that here within this chapter and the next two, I believe. You're going to get the understanding. Who are the sons of God? Who are the fallen angels? Who are the watchers? Who are the children of the devil? Who is the serpent seed? You're going to get all that understanding that we speak about daily on our scripture lessons that we give. But you're going to get the understanding from this book. You're going to see what I mean. Okay, everybody go ahead and open up to chapter 17. It says, Then Jared kept his father's commandment and arose like a lion over his people. He fed them in righteousness and innocence and commanded them to do nothing without his counsel, for he was afraid concerning them, lest they should go to the children of Cain. Wherefore did he give them orders repeatedly and continue to do so until the end of the 485th year of his life. At the end of these years, there came unto him a sign. As Jared was standing like a lion before the bodies of his fathers, praying and warning his people, Satan envied him and wrought a beautiful apparition, because Jared would not let his children do aught without his counsel. Satan then appeared to him with 30 men of his hosts in the form of handsome men, Satan himself being the elder and the tallest among them with a fine beard. They stood at the mouth of the cave and called out Jared from within. He came out to them and found them looking like fine men, full of light. Satan can transform himself into an angel of light and of great beauty. He wondered at their beauty and at their looks and thought within himself whether they might not be of the children of Cain. He said also in his heart, As the children of Cain cannot come up the height of this mountain, and none of them is so handsome as these appear to be, and among these men there is not one of my kindred. They must be strangers. Then Jared and they exchanged a greeting, and he said unto the elder among them, he said unto Satan, O my father, explain to me the wonder that is in thee, and tell me who these are with thee, for they look to me like strange men. Then the elder began to weep, and the rest wept with him. And he said to Jared, I am Adam. I should read like this. I am Adam, who Yahushua made first. And this is Abel, my son, who was killed by his brother Cain, into whose heart Satan put to murder him. Then this is my son Seth, whom I asked of Yahushua, who gave him to me to comfort me instead of Abel. Then this one is my son Enos, son of Seth, and the other one is Canaan, son of Enos, and that other one is Mahalalel, son of Canaan's father, son of Canaan, thy father. But Jared remained wondering at their appearance and at the speech of the elder to him. Then, and instead of the elder, I'm going to put Satan in there. Then Satan, the elder, said to him, Marvel not, O my son. We live in the land north of the garden, which Yahushua created before the world. He would not let us live there, but placed us inside the garden, below which ye are now dwelling. Okay, I'm at verse 14. But after that I transgressed, now Satan is trying to appear to be an angel of light, which he was trying to appear to be Adam. Okay, he's got his disguise going on. It says, but after that I transgressed, he made me come up out of it, and I was left to dwell in this cave. Great and sore troubles came upon me. Did I skip a verse here? Okay, I think I'm right where I was supposed to be. And when my death drew near, I commanded my son Seth to tend his people well. And this is my commandment, is to be handed from one to another unto the end of the generations to come. But, O Jared, my son, we live in beautiful regions. Why, you live here in misery, as this thy father Mahalalel informed me, telling me that a great flood will come and overwhelm the whole earth. Therefore, O my son, fearing for your sakes, I rose and took my children with me and came hither for us to visit thee and thy children. But I found thee standing in this cave weeping, and thy children scattered about this mountain in the heat and in misery. But, O my son, as we missed our way and came as far as this, we found other men below this mountain who inhabited a beautiful country full of trees and of fruits and of all manner of vineyard. It is like a garden, so that when we found them, we thought they were you, until thy father, Mahalalel, told me they were no such thing. Now, therefore, O my son, hearken to my counsel, and go down to them, thou and thy children. Ye will rest from all this suffering in which ye are. But if thou wilt not go down to them, then arise, take thy children, and come with us to our garden. Ye shall live in our beautiful land, and ye shall rest from all this trouble, which thou and thy children are now bearing. But Jared, when he heard this discourse from Satan, the elder, wondered, and went hither and thither. But at that moment he found not one of his children. Then he answered and said to the elder, he said to Satan, why have you hidden yourself until this day? And Satan replied, the elder replied, if thy father had not told us, we should not have known it. Then Jared believed his words were true. He believed the lies, what Jared did. Verse 23, so that Satan, the elder, said to Jared, wherefore didst thou turn about so and so? And he said, I was seeking one of my children to tell him about my going with you and about their coming down to those about whom thou hast spoken to me. When Satan heard Jared's intentions, he said to him, let alone that purpose at present, and come with us. Thou shalt see our country. If the land in which we dwell pleases thee, we and thou shall return hither and take thy family with us. But if our country does not please thee, thou shalt not come back to thine own place. Thou shalt come back to thy own place. And Satan urged Jared to go before one of his children came to counsel him otherwise. Jared then came out of the cave and went with them and among them, and they comforted him. See, they're very beguiling. All this is looking, you know, this great deception that's going on with Israel right now, you can better believe it was just as believable to Jared. Satan can transform himself into an angel of light, and so can his children. That's what the warning is in Scripture. They will appear that they are sons of the Most High by spirit. But when you look at their fruit, there is no spirit. There's only flesh. It's very beguiling because it looks like it is. These got to be the children of the Most High. These got to be who the Father raised up. These got to be them in 2014. You better test that spirit. If you hear flesh, back up from it. Question it. Read your Bibles. Okay, read them. Same thing that's happening to Jared happens to many of our people today. Let's pay attention and find out what's going on. So it says, I'm going to pick back up since I did a little talking. I did do a little talking. I lost my place again. Let me see. Okay, I'm going to pick up at verse 23 again. It says, so that elder, which is Satan, said to Jared, wherefore didst thou turn about so and so? And he said, I was seeking one of my children to tell them about my going with you and about their coming down to those about whom thou hast spoken to me. When the elder, Satan, heard Jared's intention, he said to him, let alone that purpose at present and come with us. Thou shalt see our country. If the land in which we dwell pleases thee, we and thou shall return hither and take thy family with us. But if our country does not please thee, thou shalt come back to thy own place. Now there's a catch to this. We're going to read about it in a second. He's telling him, if you don't like, first you come with me. And you come to me in a place that you're not supposed to come. But if you don't like it, well, you can go back, you know, where you came from. You're going to find out why he was lying, very beguiling. He was lying to Jared. You're going to find this out in the second family. Verse 25, and the elder, which was Satan, urged Jared to go before one of his children came to counsel him otherwise. Jared then came out of the cave and went with them and among them, and they comforted him until they came to the top of the mountain of the sons of Cain. Then said the elder to one of his companies, we have forgotten something by the mouth of the cave, and that is the chosen garment we had brought to clothe Jared withal. He then said to one of them, go back, thou someone, and we will wait for thee here until thou come back. Then we will clothe Jared, and he shall be like us, good, handsome, and fit to come with us into our country. Then that one went back. But when he was a short distance off, the elder, Satan, called to him and said, tarry thou until I come up and speak to thee. Then he stood still, and the elder, which was Satan, went up to him and said to him, one thing we have forgotten at the cave, it is this, to put out the lamp that burns inside it, above the bodies that are therein. Then come back to us quick. That one went, and the elder, which was Satan, came back to his fellows and to Jared. And they came down from the mountain, and Jared with them, and they stayed by a fountain of water near the houses of the children of Cain, and waited for the companions until he bought the garment for Jared. We're at verse 33, family. He then, who went back to the cave, put out the lamp and came to them and bought a phantom with him and showed it to them. And when Jared saw it, he wondered at the beauty and grace thereof. He rejoiced in his heart, believing it was all true. But while they were staying there, three of them went into the houses of the sons of Cain, And said, and I should say the children of the devil, sons of Cain, you know, same thing, and said to them, bring us today some food by the fountain of water for us and our companions to eat. But when the sons of Cain saw them, they wondered at them and thought, these are beautiful to look at, and such as we had never saw before. So they rose up and went with them to the fountain of water to see their companions. Verse 36, they found them so handsome, so very handsome, that they cried aloud about their place for others to gather together and come and look at these beautiful beings. Then they gathered around them both men and women. Then the elder said to them, we are strangers in your land. Bring us some good food and drink you and your women to refresh ourselves with you. I'm going to read that again. Verse 37. Then Satan, the elder, said to them, talking to the children of Cain, we are strangers in your land. Bring us some good food and drink you and your women to refresh ourselves with you. When those men heard these words of the elder of Satan, every one of Cain's sons bought his wife and another bought his daughter, and so many women came to them, everyone addressing Jared either for himself or for his wife, all alike. But when Jared saw what they did, his very spirit wrenched itself from them. Neither would he taste of their food or their drink. Now, Satan, the elder, saw hint as he wrenched himself from them and said to him, he says to Jared, be not sad, I am the great elder. As thou shalt see me do, do thyself in like manner. He was saying that he said, I'm the great elder. He was saying that he's Adam. I'm one of you. So, you know, I was righteous. Adam and Eve both were righteous, although they were kicked out of the garden, because they were still sent from the Father. They were still spiritual. They were still called. So he says, I am the great Adam. I'm your forefather. So as thou shalt see me do, do thyself in like manner. Verse 41. Then he spread his hands and took one of the women, and five of his companions did the same before Jared, that he should do as they did. But when Jared saw them working infamy, he wept and said in his mind, my fathers never did the like. Many people today believe in concubines. This is all it is, family. Because remember it said that his progeny grew, you know, that he married often. Well, they're talking about having sex often. And, it you know, it's like what you see people doing today where they'll tell you about all these concubines. And I like to go there with the concubines. But when we finish this lesson, you're going to understand that concubine very clearly. These are what the children of Cain do. They do because they operate like a devil. Okay, they have the spirit of the devil. This is what they do. The lustful flesh, the sexual urges, they're like wild beasts. They want everything and anything. And what I'm talking about a woman. They say they have to have concubines to build a nation, and our father didn't say that. Our father, you get the understanding through John the Baptist, he said that Yahushua is able to raise children from these stones. It doesn't take a man, a physical flesh man, to build the nation of the Most High, because the Most High is most able to do that himself. But you have a fleshly thought, a fleshly action that they want to tell the people that this is what should be done in 2014. Well, right here, we'll read it. It said that when this elder, which was Satan, what he told them was, he said, in verse 40, he said, be not sad, Jared. I am the great elder. I'm Adam. I'm your forefather. As thou shalt see me do, do thyself in like manner. Then he spread his hands and took one of the women, and five of his companions did the same before Jared, that he should do as they did. But when Jared saw them working infamy, he wept and said in his mind, my fathers never did the like. Verse 43, he then spread his hands and prayed with fervent heart and with much weeping and entreating Yahushua to deliver him from their hands. No sooner did Jared begin to pray that the elders fled, the Satan fled with his companions, for they could not abide in a place of prayer. Then Jared turned round, but could not see them, but found himself standing in the midst of the children of Cain. Now, this is what we were told not to do. Separate yourself from the children of Cain. He saw, ooh, I'm right in the midst of Cain's genealogy. So in verse 46, it says that Jared then wept and said, O Yahushua, destroy me not with this race, concerning which my fathers have warned me. For now, O my father, I was thinking that those who appeared unto me were my fathers. I thought that the devil and his children, his angels, were Adam, Enos, you know, Mahalalel. I thought that's who they were. He says, I was thinking that those who appeared unto me were my fathers, but I have found them out to be devils. That was the children of the devil. Now, this part is where it gets tricky, family. We're talking about spirits. The end time tells us we're no longer dealing with flesh and blood, but we're dealing with spiritual wicked principalities in high places and so forth. It's a spiritual thing because what the parable of the wheat and tares teaches us is that we're not talking about the flesh. We're talking about what dwells in the flesh, in the vessel. So when we go to this book, you have to be able to take it spiritual and understand what led the people astray was the devil. And the children of Cain followed the instructions of the devil. We were warned to stay separate from the seed of Cain, the serpent seed, the devils. I hope you're getting this. So once Jared saw that he was deceived, and he found himself right in the midst of Cain's lynch, and he was told to stay away from them, he says, I was thinking that those who appeared unto me were my fathers, but I have found them out to be devils, who allured me by this beautiful apparition until I believed them. Because you're going to believe in 2014 that it looks righteous, is reading out the same book, you know, and I can read that. This is what it is. But in all reality, all you've heard was flesh and lies and devils, doctrine of men. You have not heard the truth of the Father's word because you're not coming spiritual to the truth. So he says, Jared says in verse 47, but now I ask thee, O Father, to deliver me from this race among whom I am now staying, as thou didst deliver me from those devils. Send thy angels to draw me out of the midst of them, for I have not myself power to escape from among them. When Jared had endured his prayer, Yahuwah sent his angel. That would be Yahushua, in the midst of them, who took Jared and set him upon the mountain and showed him the way and gave him counsel and then departed from him. All right, family. I can go further with this, but for time's sake, we're going to keep going on. I want to take you guys next to chapter that's chapter 19. So go ahead and let's open up. Okay. Let's open up. And what I want to do, let me see, I don't know. I'm only going to read in chapter XIX. I'm going to read verses 1 through 9. But you go ahead and open up. You got to get the understanding of the truth of what happened in Genesis chapter 6 and who were the sons of God, who are the fallen angels, which are the children of the devil, what's the children of the serpent. You're going to get it all here. When you go to chapter XIX, it reads, Then Yahushua revealed to Jared again the promise he made to Adam. He explained to him the 5,500 years and revealed unto him the mystery of his coming upon the earth. And Yahushua said to Jared, as to that fire which thou hast taken from the altar to light the lamp withal, let it abide with you to give light to the bodies, and let it not come out of the cave until the body of Adam comes out of it. But, O Jared, take care of the fire, that it burn bright in the lamp. Neither go thou again out of the cave until thou receivest an order through a vision, and not in an apparition, when seen by thee. A vision we should be getting today is a spiritual understanding, and usually you get it up on your bed when you sleep. If you're seeing something, and you are awake and seeing these things, these visions people say they have, that God or Jesus come visit them, you know, because Yahushua was telling Jared in verse 3, take care of the fire that it burn bright in the lamp. Neither go thou again out of the cave until thou receivest an order through a vision and not in an apparition when seen by thee. Then commanded again thy people not to hold intercourse with the children of Cain and not to learn their ways. For I am Yahushua, who loves not hatred and works of iniquity. Yahushua gave also many other commandments to Jared and blessed him, and then withdrew his word from him. Then Jared drew near with his children, took some fire, and came down to the cave and lighted the lamp before the body of Adam. And he gave his people commandment as Yahushua had told him to do. This sign happened to Jared at the end of his 450th year, as did also many other wonders we do not record, but we record only this one for shortness sake and in order not to lengthen our narrative. Now that's the part I think somebody threw in there, because I believe everything was written down, but I have no proof of it, but I do believe it was written down. Because if you would get more of the understanding of the second and first book of Adam and Eve, you might understand when we speak spiritual things in the Bible. You might get that understanding a little bit better. But anyhow, let's keep reading. Verse 8. It says, and Jared continued to teach his children 80 years. But after that, they began to transgress the commandments he had given them, and to do many things without his counsel. They began to go down from the set-apart mountain one after another, and to mix with the children of Cain in foul fellowship. Verse 9. Now the reason for which the children of Jared went down the set-apart mountain is this, that we will now reveal unto you. Okay, we're getting ready to get revelations. This is going to give you the understanding, who are the sons of God? Who are the fallen angels? When we read Genesis 6, it says that men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born to them. We can read in the second book of Adam and Eve that the progeny of Cain's, it got real large. You know, it got real large. There was a lot of marriages going on here, but they're talking about sex. We can read that when the children of Cain began to multiply on the face of the earth, that beautiful daughters were born to them, and that the sons of God saw the daughters of Cain, and Cain went out with the world. So he saw the non-Hebrews, and they took and chose women, all that they wanted. That's all it is, family. Now let's go over here and get more understanding. I'm going to be reading out of chapter 20, which is XX. I'll take everybody there. Chapter 20. Let me just make sure I get my little... Okay. Let me see. Yeah, you can read it all. I really don't want to read it all. I'm just going to read from... Let's see, maybe I will be reading all this. Yeah, I think I will. Okay, well, we're going to read it all because I want you to get the understanding of what is taking place. This is the last that I'll be reading out of. But like I said, you read the whole book, you get more understanding. And I'll better precept it for you as we go along with the series. But we're at chapter 20. It reads XX. For anybody there who is following along in the book, go ahead and, you know, follow along. All righty, let me see. Do I want to get a sip of something here before I begin this last read? Because it is lengthy. And I want to precept some of this for you. I took a sip. Okay. Now, just so everyone knows, we have 23 minutes left. I want to get through this reading, but this is going in with the series that we're doing. The next one will be Saturday. Is number 2, called The Fallen Angels, The Sons of God, The Serpent Seed, and Devils. This will be part 2 of it. We're just trying to show the truth of the Father's Word, but we have to break certain lies down, and we have to precept the scriptures. We can precept it just with the scriptures, but there's also other information that was in the books that they removed, okay? Just like we know that there was a pseudepigrapher as well as the apocryphers. Well, these books were originally in the Bibles that were way, way back when, but they removed these books. So it's good to get that information as well when you're coming to the Father's Word. Not that everything in the pseudepigrapher or apocrypher books are all correct, but it should show you if it's in Scripture, if it's mentioned, it's true. If you can hear religion in there or things that I don't believe that our people would be saying, you could better believe you got a 50-50 chance. Is it truth or not? Well, I stick with the scripture. That's my foundation. If there's something of understanding that is not said in the scriptures, but other ways to say it, then I'll take it. I'll accept that as long as the foundation is from our Father's Word. So we're going to go now to chapter 20. We're going to read it up. I pray y'all ready. Okay, we're at chapter 20, verse 1. It says, after Cain had gone down to the land of dark soil, and his children had multiplied therein. Now, that's all it says right here, but where did Cain go to find a wife? Well, he went out into the world and got him a wife, right? That's what the Bible says. He went to the land of Nod. There were people out there already. So that's where he intermingled that, and that's where his seed lied. But the truth of it is, none of them had the spirit, not a correct spirit sent from our Father. They were all of the flesh. Okay? So it says that after Cain had gone down to the land of the dark soul and his children had multiplied therein, there was one of them whose name was Genon, son of Lamech. Now, this is out of Cain's genealogy because we know there's a Lamech in Chapter 5 of Adam's genealogy. Make sure you're separating these genealogies or you'll be deceived. We're talking about Cain's genealogy here. So it says that one of Cain's children name was Genon. He was the son of Lamech the blind who slew Cain. But as to this Genon, Satan came into him in his childhood, okay, and he made sundry trumpets and horns and stringed instruments, cymbals, and psalteries, and lyres, and harps, and flutes, and he played on them at all times and at every hour. Many of you probably have gone back to the book of Daniels, where they talk about these instruments made, and it was to worship their God. You remember that? Okay, I don't want to go that way. I just wanted to bring it to your remembrance. So after Satan made these instruments, it says, and when he played on them, Satan came into them, so that from among them were heard beautiful and sweet sounds that ravished the heart. We could take a cursed 2014. We know that there are, there are instruments people play that can sound like something else, and people be like, what is that? Well, we just read here that through some of this music, it's not of the most type, but through some of this music that Cain got going on in 2014, you're going to hear very demonic, you won't hear it, but you usually get a whole different personality after listening to this music for a while, because what you don't understand is subconsciously things work within you. But we're getting an understanding just as well as in drink. We're told not to have hard drink. Many of the bars locally will call the places you go to take drinks and all, they call it spirits. But we haven't put all this stuff together. A lot of this stuff Satan is able to manipulate with. Many people might even put songs behind, like the Christian church does that a lot. They'll put songs behind their prayers because demonically that does something to you spiritually. It's a mind-controlling unit. These musical instruments, Satan has a way of using them to manipulate, and that's what we're going to read about. So pay attention. Okay, it says in verse 4, it says, then he gathered company. Oh, let me go back. I'm going to read it just from the beginning because I really didn't start it. I just had to explain a couple things. Verse 1, after Cain had gone down to the land of dark soil and his children had multiplied therein, there was one of them whose name was Ginnon, son of Lamech, the blind, who slew Cain. But as to this Ginnon, Satan came into him in his childhood, and he made sundry trumpets and horns, string instruments, cymbals, psalteries, and lyres, and harps and flutes, and he played on them at all times at every hour. And when he played on them, Satan came in unto them, so that from among them were heard beautiful and sweet sounds that ravished the heart. Then he gathered company upon companies to play on them, and when they played, it pleased well the children of Cain, who inflamed themselves with sin among themselves and burnt as with fire, while Satan inflamed their hearts one with another and increased lust among them. Satan also taught Ginnon to bring strong drink out of corn, and this Ginnon used to bring together companies upon companies in drink houses, and brought into their hands all manners of fruit and flowers, and they drank together. Thus did Ginnon multiply sin exceedingly. He also acted with pride, and taught the children of Cain to commit all manners of the grossest wickedness, which they knew not, and put them up to manifold doings which they knew not before. Then Satan, when he saw that they yield to Ginnon and hearkened to him in everything he told them, rejoiced greatly, increased Ginnon's understanding until he took iron and with it made weapons of war. Then when they were drunk, hatred and murder increased among them. One man used violence against another to teach him evil, taking his children and defiling them before him. And when men saw that they were overcome and saw others that were not overpowered, those who were beaten came to Ginnon, took refuge with him, and he made them his confederates. Then sin increased among them greatly, until a man married his own sister, or daughter, or mother, and others, or the daughters of his father's sister, so that there was no more distinction of relationship, and they no longer knew what is iniquity, but did wickedly, and the earth was defiled with sin, and they angered Yahuwah, the judge, who had created them. Now, we'll stop there for a second, family, because we know that if you go to these extra-biblical books, you will sometime hear them tell you that Cain married his own sister, and da-da-da-da. Well, we could read right here, plus we know up in the scripture, it never says that Cain married his own sister. But you have to understand, when the law was given to us, when the Torah was given to us, who was amongst us? Many of the children of Cain were there. Many of them were. And they stood the same evil spirit that we can read about in this book, as we know Revelations 2:9 and 3:9 speaks of, as well as all throughout the scripture. But I want to take this somewhere. What was it? I lost my train of thought. Basically, we know that, let me look, what was I saying? Something I want to bring out in here. Give me a second, family. I cannot think of what I want to tell you. Oh, yeah, what I wanted to say was that when the Torah was given to us, it was given to us according to the new covenant for the unrighteous, not for the righteous. It was the laws were given to us for the unrighteous, because of the unrighteous, put like that, that was with us, to bring them under a law, because we had many unruly people with us. You got to know this. The same ones who are still unruly today will put you back under bondage under the law of Moses. Because according to the new covenant, the law is spiritual. There's no more outward circumcision. You can get it done for health reasons, but as far as being a son of the Most High, well, it's an inward circumcision of the heart. We're in a spiritual phase right now. But the sons of Cain will come back and bring the physical laws back on you, and the things of the physical, the flesh, the works of the hands, the observing of moons, all these things. So we're reading right here. Let me get back on track. It says, and they also do wickedly with the women. That's another thing I want to pick up. The things that you're hearing going on in 2014, you better believe we can tie it into what's being done in Scripture, as well as in the apocryphal books, as well as what the children of Cain did right here with the women. It's very important you catch this. Now let me go ahead and pick back up and read, begin at verse 8. Speaking of the children of Cain, it says, then when they were drunk, hatred and murder increased among them. One man used violence against another man to teach him evil, taking his children and defiling them before him. And when men saw that they were overcome and saw others that were not overpowered, those who were beaten came to Gideon, took refuge with him, and he made them his confederates. It says, then sin increased among them greatly until a man married his own sister or daughter or mother. And remember what it said right after the flood that Ham did? Well, he saw his father's nakedness, which meant he had sexual orientation with his mother. Okay? And remember, Japheth was never considered a son of the Most High, which means when I say that word son of the Most High, we're talking about non-fallen. We're talking about ones with the spirit that came from above. The only chosen would have been Seth, not Ham, not Japheth. The scriptures tell you that. If you're really being honest with yourself, and I know some people have married into African families and all this stuff, and, you know, I'm not talking about the Africans in a negative way, but I'm telling you what Scripture says. We're not Africans. They can call Job an Edomite. He was not of the lineage of Esau. He's not white. You better know these words. You better know the truth of the Scripture. Sin. Sin is one thing that is spoken from the Old Covenant to the New Covenant, and many people are not getting this. There's a lot of lustful, fleshly ways, and these people will tell you, hey, I'm not fleshly, I'm not lustful, but their actions tell you. That's like me beating you upside the head, kicking you in your stomach and your teeth, and telling you, I love you. Well, if I really loved you, I wouldn't be doing, my acts wouldn't be doing that to you if I really loved you. But that's what goes on today. You better pay attention to what's going on, family. Well, let's read about these generation of vipers. It says, verse 10, then sin increased among them greatly until a man married his own sister or daughter or mother or others, or the daughter of his father's sister, so that there was no more distinction of relationship, and they no longer knew that it was iniquity. That's what I want to talk about. You're going to find that they tell you that Cain married his own sister and all that, but the scriptures don't tell you that. We know that Adam's genealogy through Seth in chapter 5, after Seth, then we hear about the first daughters that were born. So what happened? How those daughters get there? I don't know. But the truth, because it doesn't tell us. They probably took that book out too. But one of the things we know that we were not supposed to marry our own sisters. So where did the daughters in Genesis chapter 5 come from? I'll wait for the Father to reveal that to me, then I'll reveal it to you. But what I will tell you is this wasn't something that was supposed to be done. But they will tell you, those who teach the flesh, that Cain, they'll go to the Apocrypha books and said that he married his own sister. So I just want to point that out to you guys. That's an important clue. I'm going to read 10 again. Then sin increased among them greatly until a man married his own sister or daughter or mother and others, more than one. He married all these. He had sex with all these. He married them. It says, or the daughters of his father's sister, so that there was no more distinction of relationship. And they no longer knew what is iniquity. What's sin? But did wickedly, and the earth was defiled with sin, and they angered Yahushua the judge, who had created them. But Ginnon gathered together companies upon companies that played on horns and on all the other instruments we have already mentioned, at the foot of the set-apart mountain. And they did this so in order that the children of Seth, who were on the set-apart mountain, should hear it. I'm at verse 12, family. But when the children of Seth heard the noise, they wondered and came by companies and stood on the top of the mountain to look at those below. And they did thus a whole year. And when, at the end of the year, Ginnon saw that they were being won over to him little by little, Satan entered into him and taught him to make dyeing stuffs for garments of diverse patterns. Now, this takes you to the lie that is taught about, I think it's in Deuteronomy 22, where it talks about a woman ought not wear that which pertains to a man. And what they were talking about, family, was not a pair of pants, but the children of Cain will tell you that lie. What we're talking about, there was a different pattern, because there was a lot of homosexuality going on. The men were distinct from the women. That's all it was, because the true garments that the priests wore, if you term it in today's terminology, they talk about bonnets and trousers, and there's a lot of words in there that are words that we would think today are feminine words. But no, it's not talking about a woman wearing a pair of pants, but it was something dealing with our garments. The way our garments were made, it separated us from men from women, so that we don't do no cross-dressing. There is no homosexuality. But anyhow, let's go back. It says in verse 13, when at the end of that year, Ginnon saw that they were being won, the children of Seth were being won over to him little by little, Satan entered into him and taught him to make dyeing stuffs for garments of diverse patterns, and made him understand how to dye crimson and purple and whatnot. Now, we know that these are our colors. And these are colors that the Hebrews wore too now. Keep that in mind. And the sons of Cain, who wrought all this and shone in beauty and gorgeous apparel, gathered together at the foot of the mountain in splendor with horns and gorgeous dresses and horse races, committing all manners of abomination. Verse 15. Meanwhile, the children of Seth, who were on the set-apart mountain, prayed and praised Yahuwah in the place of the host of angels who had fallen. Keep hearing about these hosts of angels who had fallen in the place of the ones that had fallen. Y'all going to get this in a second. Wherefore, Yahushua had called them angels because he rejoiced over them greatly. You're going to find out who fell. But after this, they no longer kept his commandments, nor held by the promise he had made to their fathers. We're talking about men. Angels don't have fathers. We're talking about men here, family. Let me read it again. Verse 15. Meanwhile, the children of Seth, who were on the set-apart mountain, who were separated from Cain's genealogy, remember Cain sinned, transgressed, fell? He says, prayed and praised Yahushua or Yahuwah in the place of the host of angels, these hosts of men, women, children, who had fallen. Wherefore, Yahushua had called them angels because he rejoiced over them greatly when they were first created. But after this, they no longer kept his commandments. They sinned. right? Cain killed his brother, nor held by the promise he had made to their fathers. But they relaxed from their fasting and praying and from the counsel of Jared their father. And they kept on gathering together on the top of the mountain to look upon the children of Cain from morning until evening, and upon what they did, upon their beautiful dresses and ornaments. We're angels. But when we don't obey, when we commit sin, transgression of the law, whatever was commanded to us, if we transgress that, we become fallen. Fallen angels. Our people are the watchers that were supposed to watch over our people. It says that, meanwhile, the children of Seth, these were the set apart ones who were on the mountain, prayed and praised Yahuwah in the place of the host of angels who had fallen. Some had fallen. Wherefore, Yahuwah had called them angels because he rejoiced over them greatly. But after this, they no longer kept his commandment, nor held by the promise he had made to their fathers. But they relaxed from their fasting and praying and from the counsel of Jared their father. And they kept on gathering together on the top of the mountain to look upon the children of Cain from morning until evening, and upon what they did, upon their beautiful dresses and ornaments. They sinned. The Most High had people coming out from him, his seed, Adam's seed, that did not obey, and they had fallen. You still had a remnant left, though, at this point right here. We're reading about it. And they were supposed to stay separate from the children of Cain. So when we go down to verse 17, it says, then the children of Cain looked up from below and saw the children of Seth standing in troops on the top of the mountain. And they called to them to come down to them. But the children of Seth said to them from above, we don't know the way. Then Gideon, the son of Lamech, heard them say that they did not know the way. And he bethought himself how he might bring them down. Now, I'm going to stop there, because why do you think Yahushua had to say, hey, I'm the truth, I'm the way, I'm the life? Because Satan had deceived many to believe that this is the way, this is the truth, this is the life. Family, let's go back and read. Verse 19, it says, then Satan appeared to Gideon by night, saying, there is no way for them to come down from the mountain on which they dwelt, but when they come tomorrow, say to them, come ye to the western side of the mountain. There you will find the way of a stream of water that comes down to the foot of the mountain. Okay, we have 90 seconds. Let me see how much more I got to read. Okay, I'll probably go into overtime for like maybe 5 minutes at the most. Maybe not even that. So, because they give me 5 minutes, family. The number is 646-595-4111. This is just something to help you guys with when you're trying to figure out who are the sons of God, who are the fallen angels, who are the serpent seed, who are the devils. All this, when you go to Scripture, now you should have a clear understanding. So we're going to continue. I have 60 seconds. I'm going to wait till they finish interrupting me before I read, because it's very annoying. But we do have about 60 seconds. I'm going to put on a quick little song just till they get over what they're saying. I'm going to play Virtuous Woman. That's about a minute long. Remember, the virtuous woman is Israel, consisting of men and women in their righteous state.
Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart for her husband doeth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and no evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax, and work willingly with her hands. She is like a merchant ship. She brings her food from afar. She opened her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of the household, and eateth not of the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest in them all. favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruits of her hands, and let her own work speak for her in the gate.
All right, family, we're back, and we're going to have to go into the third hour for about 5 minutes just so I can finish this. We're reading now the second book of Adam and Eve, and we're at chapter 20. So I'm going to finish up reading where I left off. I'm going to pick back up at verse 18. I want to pick back up at 18. This is where the children of Seth are looking down at the children of Cain. They tell them, we don't know the way. Then Genon, the son of Lamech, this is Cain's genealogy, heard them say that they didn't know the way, and he bethought himself how he might bring them down. Then Satan appeared to him by night. He appeared to Genon, Cain's genealogy, saying, there is no way for them to come down from the mountain on which they dwell. But when they come tomorrow, say to them, come ye to the western side of the mountain. There you will find the way of a stream of water that comes down to the foot of the mountain between two hills. Come down that way to us. Verse 20. Then when it was day, Genon blew the horns and beat the drums below the mountain, as he was wont. The children of Seth heard it, and came as they used to do. Then Genon said to them from down below, go to the western side of the mountain. There you will find the way to come down. But when the children of Seth heard these words from him, they went back into the cave to Jared to tell him all that they had heard. Then when Jared heard it, he was grieved, for he knew that they would transgress his counsel. Remember, Jared was deceived once too, and it was foretold to him that this was going to happen with his children after they wouldn't hearken to his counsel anymore. So at verse 24, it says, after this, 100 men of the children of Seth gathered together. I'm going to read it again. After this, let me read 23 again so y'all can get it. Okay, it says when the children of Seth had told Jared everything they heard from the children of Cain, verse 23, then when Jared heard it, he was grieved, for he knew that they would transgress his counsel. After this, 100 men of the children, of the sons of the Most High, these are the children of Seth, but they're the sons of the Most High, 100 men gathered together and said among themselves, come, let us go down to the children of Cain and see what they do and enjoy ourselves with them. Verse 25, but when Jared heard this of the 100 men, his very spirit was moved and his heart was grieved. He then arose with great fervor and stood in the midst of them and adjured them by the blood of Abel the just. Let not one of you sons of God, go down from this set-apart and pure mountain, in which our fathers have ordered us to dwell. Verse 26, but when Jared saw that they did not receive his words, he said unto them, O my good and innocent and set-apart children. He's speaking to the sons of God. Specifically, he's speaking to the men, the 100 men. He says, know that once you go down from this set-apart mountain, once you don't stay Kodesh and separate, once you go down to the mountain of the children that began to multiply on the face of the earth, which were of Cain's genealogy, the men began to multiply, and beautiful daughters were born unto them, according to Genesis 6. And then the sons of God went in to the daughters of men, and they took and chose all that they would. Pay attention. Let me say it again. When Jared saw that they did not receive his word, I'm back at the second book of Adam and Eve. He said unto them, O my good and innocent and set-apart children, know that when once you go down from this set-apart mountain, that our Father will not allow you to return again to it. Yahushua was not going to let you back up. He again adjured them, saying, I adjure by the death of our father Adam, and by the blood of Abel, of Seth, of Enos, of Canaan, of Mahalalel, to hearken to me, and not to go down from the set-apart mountain. For the moment you leave it, you will be rent of life and mercy, and you shall no longer be called children of God or sons of God, but children of the devil. Bam! There you go. Y'all read it? Y'all heard it? I hope y'all getting it. Jared was talking to 100 sons of God, specifically 100 men, telling them, don't go down there. Once you go down, you can't come back up to the set-apart mountain. Once you not obey and keep separate, if you don't do that, if you intermingle, you have transgressed. You will have fallen. You can't come back up this mountain. And you shall no longer be called children of God, or children of Yahuwah, rather, or sons of God, but children of the devil. Verse 28, but they would not hearken to his words. Enoch at that time was already grown up, and in his zeal for Yahushua, he arose and said, hear me, O ye sons of Seth, small and great, when ye transgress the commandment of our fathers and go down from the set-apart mountain, ye shall not come up hither again forever. But they rose up against Enoch and would not hearken to his words, but went down from the set-apart mountain. Verse 31, and when they, the 100 men, the sons of God, specifically the men, when they looked at the daughters of Cain, remember Genesis 6:1-2, that when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, when Cain's genealogy began to multiply, their beautiful and comely daughters were born to them. And the sons of God, the 100 men, did not hearken to the commandment that was given to them. It says that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair and fitted extensions, and they took all those they chose from. So we're reading right here. It says, let's go there again. It said, verse 31, and when they looked at the daughters of Cain, at their beautiful figures, and at their hands and feet dyed with color and tattooed in ornaments on their faces, the fire of sin was kindled in them. Then Satan made them look most beautiful before the sons of Seth, before the sons of God. As he also made the sons of Seth appear of the fairest in the eyes of the daughters of Cain, so that the daughters of Cain lusted after the sons of Seth, or the sons of God, like ravishing beasts. And the sons of God, or the sons of Seth, after the daughters of Cain, until they committed abomination with them. There's your Genesis 6, family. Do you know who the fallen angels are now? Do you know who the sons of God are now? Do you know what really happened in Genesis? Chapter 6. We're gonna go a little further. Don't get mad at me, because I'm going to take you guys to Scripture and show you where that is the case, because there is no new thing underneath the sun. We'll prove that. Not in this lesson, but in the lesson to come. Okay, we're going to be continuing on reading 33 through 38. It says that, but after they had thus fallen, the sons of God had fallen into this defilement by leaving their set apart, as the book of Jude said, the angels who kept not their first estate, these angels, these men, after they had fallen, and they took the daughters of Cain, the daughters of men, of the flesh. After they did this defilement, they returned by the way they had come. They wanted to go back home and tried to ascend the set-apart mountain, but they could not, because the stones of the set-apart mountain were of fire flashing before them, by reason of which they could not go up again. And Yahushua was angry with them and repented of them because they had come down from glory. This is in Genesis 6 as well. We read it. It repented him that he had made man because he's also flesh, right? So when we go to this verse right here, it talks about Yahushua was angry with them in verse 34 and repented of them because they had come down from glory. They had fallen and had thereby lost or forsaken their own purity or innocence and were fallen into the defilement of sin. Verse 35, then Yahushua sent his word to Jared, saying, these are thy children, whom thou didst call my children. Behold, they have transgressed my commandment and have gone down to the abode of perdition, of sin. Who is the man of sin? It's not one man, there are many. But to have sin, you have first had to have been given the commandment. You can't sin if you were never given the commandment. So who's the man of perdition? Someone who always transgresses the law. Okay, let's go our sins, another way of sin. Okay, so in 35 it says, then Yahushua sent his word to Jared, saying, these thy children, whom thou didst call my children, behold, they have transgressed my commandment. They haven't hearkened and have gone down to the abode of perdition and of sin through Cain's genealogy, right? Send a messenger to those that are left, that they may not go down and be lost. Verse 36, then Jared wept before Yahushua and asked of him mercy and forgiveness, but he wished that his spirit might depart from his body rather than hear these words from Yahushua about the going down of his children from the set-apart mountain. But he followed Yahushua's orders and preached unto them not to go down from that set-apart mountain and not to hold intercourse with the children of Cain. But they heeded not his message and would not obey his counsel. That's all I'm reading, family. That's all that needs to be said. Now, we've read quite a bit, and you know what's flying out there with doctrine. I'm going to present to you guys when I come back to this part. I'm going to have to give you time to read the first and second book of Adam and Eve. But when I come back to this part right here where I'm trying to interlink them and show you what the scripture's talking about, who did what did who, you're going to find that the children of the devil, they will tell you that these heavenly angels came into the Hebrew woman. They will tell you that that's why the woman in 1 Corinthians 11, this Hebrew woman, got to have a covering of a man over her because of the angels. They will defile the word, the truth. They will defile it. When they open the book, they make you enemies because they give you a different doctrine. But you're going to find that their understanding or what they teach is total opposite of the truth of what the scripture says, as well as the first book of Adam and Eve, as well as some other books in the scriptures, as well as pseudepigrapha and the apocryphal books. But the truth is, who did what? Now, if you don't understand the words that I've been reading or the explanation that's coming out of my mouth, take it up with the Father, reread, ask him to reveal. Know what's in scripture, that's your foundation. But these books have truth in them because the truth is those angels, we're angels in the flesh, the sons of God, as they like to quote in the book. Well, that would be us. When we sin, we go into a fallen state. We were told to stay separate from Cain's genealogy. That's why you will not find Cain's genealogy with Adam's. Nobody should be lying to nobody and telling them that Cain married his sister. Because we can read it in the scriptures that there wasn't a daughter born till after Genesis chapter 5. I don't care what apocryphal book you go through, you're going to only find daughters born before Seth. But in the scriptures, there's no daughters born till after Seth. Seth, his first mentioning of his name was after it says that Cain went to land of Nod and found a wife. He's at the very bottom of Genesis 4. We don't hear about daughters being born out of the lineage of Adam till after Genesis chapter 5, somewhere up in there. So you see, the truth is, who did what? Who did what in the scriptures? Now maybe you will get why it tells us that the Antichrist, these are all the English words I'm using, but these are the man of sin. This is the lineage of Cain. This one does, it says he desires, he doesn't desire women. And the world will tell you, see, he gay. No, the truth of it is they flipped the script on the woman because the words are now put in English where people believe that when it says woman in the scripture, oh, sometimes they know it's speaking of a church. Sometimes they know it's talking about the assembly. But when they want to, which is easy to do, they'll look at it and say, see, the woman this, the woman that, the woman this. They have no desire for this woman. The woman is Israel. But they look at it in the flesh and they divide the house of Israel because those who were dealing with Yahushua, who were the seed of the serpent, they were John 8:44. Their father was a devil. They told Yahushua that he was a devil. He had devils. Yahushua said a house divided cannot, it'll fall. So what did they do? They divided the house of Israel by separating the man and woman. They went to Genesis and told you, because everywhere else in the scripture has woman, that Hebrew woman is nasty. When it talks about a whore and a harlot and all these things, a virtuous woman. Oh, that's just talking about a woman. No, that was talking about Israel. That was talking about Israel. So they flipped the script and they told you that you got to control your woman, you got to be over the woman. They made up lies about Genesis 3:16, not accepting the truth that Yahushua is the only man that we are concerned about. Paul told you, after he told you about comparison between Yahushua and the assembly, and then he told you about a man and a woman, a wife, he said, but I tell you this mystery. I'm speaking about Yahushua and the assembly. But it's the slight of words. Remember, that beast that enters the garden, it was very beguiling. Satan is able to deceive the whole world if that time wasn't cut short because the way they do it is so beguiling. But we're bringing it to you now so you can see what's going on out there in 2014. Family, I hope you're getting this. That's all I have to say. I have nothing else to add to it. Go ahead and read the books on your own. I will open up the mic if anybody wants to say anything. I will do that. So you have a few minutes. I'll give you a couple seconds to raise a hand, which means push the number one button, and I'll see your hand is up, and I will go ahead and take you, okay? And we will answer whatever question you have. But if not, we're going to get moving on because, oh, my family just came home. I'm going to put on a song, family. Hey, keep in the Father's word. Make sure you get your homework done. If you feel like you're being blessed by the truth of the word, give a love offering. Okay, go over to our website and use our PayPal. All right, family, with that being said, shalom, shalom.
Jeff. Too much fighting amongst our people.
Too much fighting. Yes, it is.
We gotta come together.
Come together.
We gotta stick together.
Stick together.
To be that nation that the Most High called us to be. Yeah.
Things are getting out of hand. So much going on. And I'm praying for the day that we all get along, Israel. See, we've got to come together and worship the Most High. There's no need to hate each other, cause we disagree sometimes. We're a family.
We gotta come together. Israel, we're one.
And we're supposed to be coming together.
We're supposed to be.
Oh yeah.
Israel, we're one.
Ooh. We all get frustrated under all this pressure. And every family fights sometimes, but they always stick together. Yes, they do, that's what they do, yeah. I'm willing to forgive you, can you do the same? Oh. Cause I can't put this all on you, I'll take some of the blame. Like I said before, we're a family.
We
it's family.
Israel,
stick together. Maybe I could have been just a little more humble.
Yeah,
maybe I can
one.
Find a better way to say what I need to say.
Oh, oh my God, I agree with everything you say to me. No,
but you're not. Rebellious ones,
oh, no.
But the ones trying to do right. Why hurt them all the time when they're trying to live right? Oh, oh,
oh, yeah. Be careful who you hurt.
Cause the Bible says if you offend one of these little ones that believe in him, you'd be better off with a millstone all around your neck and drowned in the sea. You don't wanna be that one.
Let's stop this fighting, y'all, and get together, alright? Shalom.
I know it's hard, Israel. Trying to live right in this wicked kingdom.
It's been a long time, but it's coming real soon. It's gonna be okay, so I can't stop. I won't stop. Israel, don't stop. Everything that you're going through, suffering, trying to stay faithful and the truth. I know it's hard, but don't stop. Don't stop. Israel, don't stop. 'Cause when that day comes,
waiting for. Yeah. When the chariot
with another one for Israel. Do you know who you are?
If I had the chance to show you who you are, you'd be so amazed. If you knew the power within you,
say,
I've got to change my way, 'cause you're like a superhero,
but you